I'm going to say something that I think many of you understand, but some of you don't. I'm just seeing people in the world who don't get this, and it astounds me. Here it is. Are you ready? Every man falls. Every man fails. Every man has moments in his life that he wishes he could erase. Guys, the question is not whether you've failed in life. The question is, did failure finish you? Or did you allow it to forge you into a better man? Today, on this episode, I'm going to talk to you about why your failures may be the most important part of your story. And a lot of what you're going to hear on this episode is really just a collection of truth and motivation that I've gathered for myself, whether it's coming from my notes app on my phone or from my journal. I'm just going to share it all with you. This is stuff that I'm constantly speaking to myself repeatedly. And I know it's going to help you too. So here we go.
Oh, yeah. Y'all know what time it is. You're listening to the Grizz Podcast. It's gonna be raw. It's gonna be real. And it's gonna be relevant. We're here to guide, encourage, and equip you to live the manly life that God is calling you to live. It's time for you to step up and man up. That's what God expects. And that's what this jacked up world desperately needs. Now here's our host, Jason George.
Get him, Jay.
Yo, yo, what's going down on my brothers from other mothers? I'm so glad you tuned in to this week's episode of the Grizz Podcast. Today is Tuesday, February 24th, 2026, when I'm recording this. And as a lot of you guys know, the Winter Olympics just wrapped up. I'll be honest with you, like, I didn't watch much of it. I watched a little bit of bobsledding with my family, and what have I been into lately? I've been consumed with, I finished the last season that came out of that survival show Alone. I was watching that on Netflix. I got through that. And then I was rewatching the movie The Revenant. And then when I had time, I was watching the series Lonesome Dove because Robert Duvall died recently. So I just didn't watch much of the Olympics. It really didn't interest me. But what did interest me was the Canada-USA hockey game. I caught the last half of that on Sunday. And man, dude, that was epic. And I shed some tears at the end of that one. And it wasn't over the fact that the USA beat Canada. It really wasn't over the fact that our hockey team hasn't won the gold since 1980. You know, the whole miracle season team, whatever, in the movie came out. Really, what I shed tears over was watching the team members of the US hockey team carrying around the jersey of their teammate, Johnny Gaudreau, who died back in 2024. And they're skating around, carrying, holding up his jersey, and the camera's going over, showing his wife and his kids and his parents, you know, standing there with tears in their eyes. Like, dude, it still gets me choked up. I'm like, oh my goodness. And then watching them when they do the team photo at the end, they bring Gaudreau's two daughters out onto the ice for the team photo, and the little girls are there with the whole hockey team and they're holding up their dad's jersey. Like, dude, that hit deep. Because what I saw there is just something beautiful. I saw brotherhood. I saw loyalty. Like what it means to never leave a man behind. And it was powerful. It was moving, like that whole like moment. And it was a reminder to me that like real men, they carry each other. They help carry each other in life and even death. We all need that. So anyway, what else is going down in my life? I recently did a tag team podcast episode with my buddy, Matt Dobschutz, the Dobber, over at the Porn Free Radio podcast. And he wanted to do this episode about his decision like a year or two ago to just completely give up drinking and what that's done for him and what he's learned through that. And honestly, I was there on the episode, but I didn't say a whole lot. I was really there just listening, supporting him. At the end, I think I have a few things to say in that episode, but I was really there just to, you know, stand beside my brother. I'm grateful that he asked me to come on the podcast. You guys should go check that episode out. I think it's good. Many of you have told me that you found my podcast by listening to Matt's podcast or through reading his book. So that's cool. Matt, if you're listening, I appreciate you, brother. Appreciate your friendship, your honesty, and of course, your love for old school rap.
Drop!
So, what else is going down? I'll be honest with you guys. You know what? Why do I even say that? I'm not going to say that. I'll be honest with you guys. Like, what was I lying before? So, it's just things, stupid things we say. I'll be honest with you guys. Anyway. It's been a rough few weeks for me with my health battles. I'm going through some intense treatments right now, taking some powerful medications. I was on two powerful medications. My doctor took me off of those. We're trying some new ones to kind of hit it from a different angle. And man, there are just some days when it levels me, like completely drains me. I'll spare you all the details. I'm not trying to have a pity party or anything like that. But there are just days, man. Because of it, I don't feel like myself. And that was especially happening last week. It's coming to this week as well. I didn't want to do the podcast today, but I made a commitment. I'll talk about that in a minute. But last week, I had two opportunities to be at two different men's events, one here in North Carolina and then one down in Georgia. And I really wanted to go, and I couldn't go. My body wouldn't let me, and I hate that. Because I want to be out there. Like, I want to be out on the road. I want to be face to face with you guys. I want to be speaking. I want to be encouraging. I want to be listening to you. I want to be building men up. That's what I'm called to do. And it is so frustrating when your spirit is willing, but your body just isn't cooperating. But I'm still here. I'm still climbing, still going to get behind the mic. And do the Grizz podcast. I have been working with a therapist each week, not just with my functional med doctor, but also with a therapist that helps me a lot with my mental game and how to reframe things. And the cool part is that this therapist, the reason I chose her is because she has been through the same kind of illness and treatments that I'm going through with these tick infections that I'm dealing with. And she told me that she was basically bedridden for 2 years when she went through the treatments. They just completely like wrecked everything. She's like, I couldn't do anything except the treatments and really rest and sleep and try to recover. 2 years. She was telling me like, Jason, if I wouldn't have had my husband there with me to support me, I wouldn't have made it. She's like, I couldn't take care of the kids. I couldn't take care of the house. He was laying out her pills for her, making sure that she didn't take the wrong pills or take too many. And I was listening to her and I thought, man, you know, survival many times, getting through whatever it is you're going through, It's not pretending you're strong. I don't like that phrase, fake it till you make it. Sometimes it's survival. It's just about continuing. It's about you just keep showing up. Even if you feel weak, you feel sick, if you're half out of it, you do the best you can. Like, what's wrong with telling people that? I'm not well. I'm sick. I'm going through something. What's wrong with telling somebody, dude, I'm dealing with high stress. I'm dealing with anxiety. I'm dealing with depression. Whatever it is, I don't know what you're going through, but I like raw. I like real. So I want to say, like, this is what I'm still going through. Pray for me, my brothers. Put me on your prayer list if you have one at your church or your men's group. I really appreciate it. Had a brother text me that today. He goes to a Tuesday morning men's Bible study. And he said, yo, man, you're on the prayer list. And means a lot. I told you guys from the beginning of this year that I am committed to dropping a fresh episode every week, even if that means I'm in a hospital bed. If I'm in the ICU, I'm want to be the type of guy that's like, give me my phone. I'm going to hit the record button. Got to drop an episode of Grizz. I don't know what I'm going to say. I might just tell you like what's going on in the hospital. But I want to be committed to what I'm doing here with the podcast. Because, guys, that's what we do. We do hard things. We endure. We stay committed. We survive. And that's exactly what we're going to talk about today. So we'll grab a sip of my coffee here, and then we are going to rip into some good grade A grass-fed organic meat. There are several Winston Churchill quotes that hang up all around my home. I'm not kidding. Like, there's one here in the Grizz Cave, my office. There's one in the bathroom. There's one in the other bathroom. There's one in the main room. There's one in the kitchen, and there's one in my bedroom. And the one in my bedroom is this one I want to share with you right now. I look at this one every single day. It says, success isn't final. Failure isn't fatal. It is the courage to continue that counts. Let that sink in. Success isn't final. Failure isn't fatal. It is the courage to continue that counts. It's not the win. It's not the loss. It's the continuation. That's what matters. The persistence. Churchill is not a man who just talks the talk. Like, he lived that. He failed early and often, if you know about Churchill. He failed in politics. He lost elections. He was blamed for a disastrous World War I military campaign that cost thousands of lives. So after that, like, his reputation was shattered and he was pushed out of leadership. He was ignored. He was ridiculed. And he spent years in what historians call his wilderness years. And most men, they would have just disappeared. But Churchill, he was different. He kept preparing. He kept studying, he kept writing, he kept showing up, and he was waiting for something. What he talks about, he terms it a man's finest hour. Some of you know that phrase, you know that speech that he gave, your finest hour. And he was waiting for his finest hour, and he believed that it had not yet arrived. So when World War II began and Britain stood alone against Hitler, they didn't have anyone helping them at the time, Churchill was ready. The man who had failed, the man who had been mocked, ridiculed, cast out, he becomes like the man who ends up being instrumental to save Western civilization. And I want you to think about this. Like, his greatest contribution in his life came after his greatest failures. Listen, guys, great men fail. In fact, great men fail greatly. Many of them have failed often, but they keep going. And I'm going to show you some powerful examples of those men in this episode. We have to learn as men to reframe the way we see our failures. I love the quote by Theodore Roosevelt, like his speech, The Man in the Arena. It's hanging up in my home as well. This is what he says. It's not the critic who counts. It's not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs and comes up short again and again, because there's no effort without error or shortcoming, but who knows the great enthusiasms, the great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows, in the end, the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least he fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who neither know victory nor defeat. I love that. Think about those words. Like the man who errs, the man who comes up short again and again. That's the man worthy of respect. It's not the critic. It's not the observer in the bleachers. It's not the Monday morning quarterback. It's the man in the arena. The man who actually dares to risk. The man who bleeds. The man who fails. But he's the man who keeps going. I remember when my son turned 18 years old and he was going to be leaving for college. I had this quote professionally like printed out and matted and framed for him. And I gave it to him. And I also gave him a Roman gladius sword that I had, like a real legit one. Not just some cheese ball replica. Like this thing was legit, battle ready. That's what I mean by legit. And I told him, I said, you have what it takes. Be the man in the arena. And he knows what that means. And he knows that failure is part of that. Coming up short again and again, it's part of that. It's what you do with that. That's what matters. You know, scripture tells us in the book of James that we all stumble in many ways. Not some men, all men. There is no perfect man who never stumbles, except for the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. You look at scripture and you see a book full of failures. Moses failed. King David failed. Elijah failed. Jonah failed. The Apostle Paul failed. Peter failed. I mean, Peter, it's one of the most powerful examples. On the night that Jesus needed him the most, the night that he's arrested and they're planning to kill him, Peter denied even knowing him. Not once, not twice, three times. Peter failed publicly in front of everyone. He failed morally. He failed spiritually. And yet, Jesus restored him. And Peter goes on and becomes one of the boldest leaders in the early church. What we learn from that is that your worst moments don't have to be your final moment. Look at all these men in Scripture who failed. Yet God still used all of them to in some way change the world. Failure did not ruin them. Failure prepared them. Failure definitely humbled them, but failure forged them. They learned to reframe their failures. That's what you have to do, guys. And there have been many other great men throughout history that have failed greatly, but yet gone on to do things that have changed the world. I thought about Abraham Lincoln. You know, Lincoln's rise to becoming the president of the United States like wasn't a straight line. It was a brutal up and down climb filled with loss, humiliation, rejection. Let me give you Lincoln's resume here. It's like almost hilarious. He failed in business at age 21. Then he ran for state legislature at 22 and he lost. He started another business at 24, but he failed again and he went into debt that took him 17 years to repay. Then at 26, the woman he was in love with, Ann Rutledge, died suddenly and he was devastated. And he fell into a severe depression, like he wanted to die. Then at age 29, he ran for Speaker of the Illinois House and he lost. At 31, he ran for Elector and lost. At 34, he ran for Congress and lost. At 39, he ran again and lost. At age 46, he ran for Senate and lost. At age 47, he ran for vice president and lost. And then at age 49, he ran for Senate again and he lost. Most men, they would quit. Like they're done trying. Not Lincoln. At 51 years old, he became president of the United States. And he led this country through its darkest hour. He was instrumental in ending slavery in this country. But 30 years of failure preceded his greatest success. Failure didn't stop him. Failure trained him for the moment he would carry the weight of a nation through civil war. I mean, think about that. He's the president at the time when Americans are at war with other Americans. Then there's Thomas Edison. Edison didn't succeed quickly. You know, with his invention of the light bulb, he tested over 1,000 different materials trying to create the light bulb. And every attempt failed. So a reporter came to him and said, like, how did it feel to fail 1,000 times? And Edison responded, I love this response. He said, I didn't fail 1,000 times. The light bulb was an invention with 1,000 steps. Man, that is like mic drop. See you later, reporter. You see what he did there? He reframed. He reframed his quote-unquote failures as progress. Each failure eliminated what didn't work. He found out, like, okay, this will not create a light bulb that works. Each failure brought him closer to what did work. And eventually, he succeeded. He changed the world. And then there's this guy you may have never heard of, Michael Jordan. At the age of 15, he tries out for his varsity basketball team at Laney High School in Wilmington, North Carolina, and he gets cut. The coach chose other players over him. You know, Jordan wasn't, quote unquote, tall enough yet or dominant yet or special yet. And he went home after that. And he locked himself in his room and he cried. But he said later, like, that fueled him. That loss, that failure, it fueled him. Instead of completely giving up on basketball, quitting, he made a decision. I will never be outworked again. And he started waking up early to practice before school. And he practiced after school. And he practiced at night. Every day, no shortcuts, no excuses. He just did the work. And the next year, he made the varsity team. And he went on full scholarship to the University of North Carolina. And then he goes on, as a lot of you know, to the NBA. 6 championships. multiple times MVP. But even at the highest level, he still failed constantly. But nobody wants to talk about that. Think about it. Like Jordan said this, he goes, I've missed more than 9,000 shots in my career. He said, I've lost almost 300 games. He said, 26 times I was trusted to take the game-winning shot at the end of the game. And he goes, I missed. But Jordan, he wasn't great because he avoided failure. He was great because he was willing to carry the weight of failure publicly, repeatedly, and without quitting. He just learned from it. These men, failure was not the end of their story. Failure was the beginning of their greatness. And we love stories like this, right? We love to read books like this. We love to watch movies about men like this or women like this. Failure can often be our greatest catapult to greatness if we allow it to be. Guys, a loss is nothing more than a lesson if you learn to reframe it. If you risk nothing, you risk everything. You know, you may risk and fail, but you may also risk and succeed. But to never risk in life, that's not living. That's dying. Like, what kind of life is that? Comfort is your enemy. Stop pursuing a comfortable life. Pursue what matters. I believe, like, the more comfortable you are, the less happy you'll be. The more comfortable you are, the less happy you will be. There's such an illusion with this whole, I just want to live a comfortable lifestyle. The more hard things you do, happiness will find you. Because pain is the price of growth, of meaning, of purpose. And pain is often like this alarm clock that wakes you up. It forces you to change. It forces you to grow. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. You've had seasons where, man, just showing up through the pain, even if you're not killing it, you're just like, I'm here, I'm showing up. I'm hurting, but I'm here. Dude, that was the victory. I'm living that right now in my own life. I'm not at my optimal, but I'm showing up. Not going to quit. You have to be consistent before you can succeed at anything. You have to be consistent before you can succeed at anything. You have to stick with whatever it is you put your hand to. You got to learn from the failures, make the adjustments, make the improvements. James Clear, New York Times bestselling author, said, "Growth is a slow process, but giving up won't speed it up." He also said, "The secret to success is that there is no secret. It comes down to consistency over intensity, progress over perfection, fundamentals over fads, over and over again. Just don't quit." You know, in my observation, most men don't lack potential. They lack consistency. I've seen it in my own life. And listen to me carefully, guys. There's a big difference between, you know, being interested in something and being truly committed to something. You need to be committed. Whatever it is, man, that thing, be committed. When you are interested, you do it when it's convenient. But when you are committed, you do it no matter what, even when it sucks, especially when it sucks. Why? Because you're committed. Dr. Leah Katz, she wrote this, "The only way to teach yourself that you can do hard things is by doing hard things. The only way to teach yourself that you can do hard things is by doing hard things. Getting out of your comfort zone is what expands your comfort zone." One baby step at a time. Do hard things. That's how it works. Again, guys, these are things I tell myself all the time. Things I have written down, learned from others, pulled out of books, pulled out of documentaries, biographies, autobiographies. Do hard things. Alex Hormozi said something powerful recently. I wrote this down too. The most dangerous person in the world is the one who continues to show up every day, even when the rewards are not guaranteed. Think about that. The man who keeps showing up when no one is clapping, when no one is watching, when it looks like nothing is taking off yet, nothing's improving, but just keeps showing up. That man becomes unstoppable. That's a dangerous man. Because your success is often determined by the amount of uncertainty you're able to endure. Your success is often determined by the amount of uncertainty you're able to endure. You don't know how it's going to turn out, but you just keep showing up. You endure that uncertainty. Scott Clary said this, "Disciplined people have one rule, do the thing no matter what. Do the thing no matter what. Simple wins. You got to step up to the plate. Got to keep swinging. Even with the podcast, I had a pastor a couple years ago. He said, Jason, you know, sometimes you miss 2 or 3 weeks in a row of dropping an episode, sometimes longer. And he said, that's because you want to hit a home run every time, don't you? I said, I do. I said, I want everything to be excellent. And he said, yeah, you got to kill that. I was like, well, I don't like mediocrity. And he's like, I know, but listen, this is what he said. He said, drop every single week, drop something. Do your preparation, make it as excellent as you can make it. But he goes, man, you got to step up to the plate. You got to keep swinging. He said, you don't have to hit a home run every time. He said, Jason, base hits count. Base hits win games. What was he saying? Consistency. Consistency. Keep showing up. Let me tell you guys something else, man, that I'm learning. Dude, when you're new at something, whatever it is, if you're starting a business, if it's a new class you're taking, if it's a new sport, if it's a martial art, if it's podcasting, if it's preaching, teaching, if it's dating, listen, when you're new at something, you're going to look stupid sometimes, or you're going to sound stupid sometimes. It's like we forget everyone successful at one point was once a beginner. At some point, Michael Jordan had never even dribbled a basketball. I know it's hard to believe. Like, we all think he came out of his mama dribbling and, like, you know, dunking, taking off from the foul line. Every successful person was once a beginner. Everyone successful was once awkward. Everyone successful was once doubted. Everyone successful looks stupid at some point in the journey. Even spiritually, following Christ, doing evangelism, doing ministry, whatever that ministry is you do, you're going to look stupid at times. It's awkward at times. If you're not willing to look stupid for like 2 years, you'll never look like a genius for 20. Dude, get comfortable with it. Again, this is all stuff I've had to tell myself. You have to get comfortable with rejection, get comfortable with repetition, get comfortable with criticism. There's so many critics. That's the price. Steve Magnus was talking about his high school coach and how he had this 24-hour rule that he told the team. He said, like, no matter what happens, if we win or if we lose, you guys got 24 hours. You got 24 hours to feel it and to process it, and then we move forward. So if we lose and it's like, oh, we suck, woe is me, I'm so mad, I'm so upset, he goes, you got 24 hours to feel that, to process it, and then we move forward. I'll see you back on the field, back in the gym. If we win and you are on top of the world, dude, and you're just like, yes, we're the best, we're awesome. He's like, you got 24 hours to feel that, process it, and then it's back on the field, back in the gym. That's how you move forward. You get back to work. James Clear, I quote him a lot. He says, a surefire way to make a bad situation worse is to continue replaying it in your mind. The damage is done. The only thing that matters now is making the best choice given your current position. He calls it next play mentality. He goes on, if you make a mistake that is hard to reverse, there's no sense beating yourself up about it. Your responsibility is to make the best next choice given your current position. You must always make the most of the situation you are in. I love that phrase, like next play mentality. Like no matter what has happened, like the past is done. If I failed, if I blew it, if I sucked, okay, great. Own it. Admit it. If you need to apologize to someone, ask for forgiveness, do it. It's over. Next play mentality. Stop the self-pity. Stop the would've, could've, should've talk. That rumination that keeps you up at night. The past is done. Move forward. Always move forward. Always keep climbing. Guys, newsflash. Life isn't fair. It never was. Not since the fall of man back in the Garden of Eden. Life isn't fair. It never was. It never will be. Winners accept this. And they move forward. People that succeed and make something of their life and do something great, they accept this and they move forward. Life isn't fair. Never was, never will be. Losers complain. They stay stuck. Guys, play the hand that you've been dealt. And if it's not the best hand, play the hand that you've been dealt. Not the one you wish you had. Stop blaming others. Stop criticizing others. You're not a product of your circumstances. You're a product of your decisions. Every successful person you see, I was thinking about this. Every successful person you see, or you've watched a movie about, or like you've read about, whatever. They have survived a painful season you probably knew nothing about, unless it made it in the book or unless it made it in the movie, right? And then that's what makes the movie. That's what makes the book. Every successful person survived a painful season. Every single one of them. Pain is required. Struggle is required. Failure is required. You don't find success. Success doesn't just find you. You build it brick by brick, mistake by mistake, day by day, rep by rep. You keep showing up, willing to look completely stupid sometimes. Listen carefully. Every single thing I'm convinced that we truly want in life that really matters, not talking about the superficial, fleshy stuff, every single thing you truly want in life that truly matters is on the other side of something that sucks. Every single thing. You know, the person you want to become, it's going to cost you. It can cost you people. It can cost you relationships, friendships. It'll cost you comfort for sure. It'll cost you familiarity. Like what you're used to. It's going to cost you. Choose growth anyway. And be a guy who's Stop being ashamed of how many times you've fallen and start being proud of how many times you've gotten back up and learned from those failures and made yourself better. That's the man in the arena. That's the man who eventually succeeds, who goes on and does great things that truly impact the world. It's not the man who never fell. It's not the man who never failed. It's the man who refused to stay down. Guys, I get it. You have failed. You have fallen at times. You may have lost. You may have been knocked down. Life wasn't fair to you. It didn't go your way. I completely get it. Life sucks right now. I get it. Good. Because now you have the script, the perfect script for a great story. You choose how the story ends. You get to finish writing that story, you and God. So get back up, because failure isn't fatal, but quitting is. And remember, success isn't final. I love that, what Churchill says. Success isn't final. What does that mean? Guys, if you're like on top of the world right now, just know that that doesn't always last. Failure, disaster, could be right around the corner. You don't know what tomorrow holds. You know, welcome to life on this side of heaven. You got to get up. You got to keep grinding. Keep showing up. Reframe it. Learn from it. There's always more growing to do on this side of heaven. You're going to continue to take the hits on this side of heaven. You got to keep going. Brick by brick, day by day. That next play mentality that James Clear is talking about. You got to stay in the arena. You got to stay in the fight. You got to stay consistent. You got to stay committed. These are all things I continually have to tell myself, self-talk. And one day, I believe you'll look back at everything and everyone that tried to break you, and you're going to realize that what was trying to break you was really building you. It was forging you. It was making you stronger. You've heard that phrase, like, what doesn't kill us only makes us stronger. That's not always true. We have to allow it to make us stronger. You have to know how to handle it, how to deal with it, how to reframe it, how to give it to God, invite God into it. Pain doesn't automatically make you stronger. Pain makes you stronger only if you give it to God, reframe it, and refuse to quit. Refuse to become bitter. Choose to use it. Many men get hit with failure, loss, sickness, disease, disability, rejection, heartbreak, ridicule, slander, betrayal. And many men quit after that. Not because they lack ability, but because they lose perspective. They no longer see the big picture. They don't know how to reframe it. They don't give it to God and allow Him to help them reframe it and let it strengthen them. They allow pain to define them instead of refine them. You have to give it to God and reframe it. You have to see all of it as training, all of it. Every obstacle, every difficulty, every sucky experience, every sickness, every disability, every disease, every pain, every loss, every heartbreak, you have to see all of it as training. You have to see it as preparation. You have to see it as part of the climb. You got to stay consistent. You have to endure. You got to be the man who endures. Be the man who continues when others stop. Be the man who refuses to quit. Be the man who stays in the arena. Because the man who stays in the arena long enough with all the blood, the sweat, the tears, the scars, the snot, he becomes the man no one can stop. He becomes the man no one can stop. Keep climbing, my brothers.